Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity and privilege, Lord, to be here in this church on this evening. I pray that your Holy Spirit, please come now. Please use our preachers. Please speak to our hearts. Minister to our needs. We love you. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We are on, it's hard to believe, lesson 39 for the life of Moses. I think we've got about two or three left, and we're going to finish up the life of Moses here, maybe as many as four. But I've got just a few more things, and then we're going to jump into another topic and have some fun here. I want you to keep your Bible open tonight. We're going to use this chapter a lot, all right? And I'm just kind of warning you. We're going to use it a lot, and I'm going to need your attention tonight. It's going to be a little, I hate using the word wordy, but it's going to be a little wordy tonight. And I just, there's no other way to teach this, but I want you to get it. All right. Deuteronomy 28 verses 51 to 60, 58 to 61. I'm sorry. Verse number 58. The Bible says, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, of a long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until it thou be destroyed." Now, let me review just a little bit, and then we're going to jump into this. Deuteronomy is the most unique of the books of the Bible between Exodus and Deuteronomy. Exodus, you have the Jews in the wilderness, in Egypt. God calls Moses. He calls them out of Egypt. They go through the plagues. They cross the Red Sea, and they get into Canaan land. Then you got Leviticus, and it talks about the Levitical priesthood and setting up of the tabernacle. All of those things were pointing to Jesus. They had nothing to do with salvation, but it had everything to do with the Levitical priesthood. That's why during the Levitical priesthood, in the temple days, tabernacle days, that's why Jesus started the church, not the temple. That's why Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's why Jesus did not come out of the tribe of Levi, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. He came out of the tribe of Judah, though he was our high priest. Because Jesus did away with the priesthood, he did away with the temple worship, and instituted the church. Now, Deuteronomy literally means the second law. The book of Deuteronomy is unique because it only covers a space of about 3 weeks to a month. It was the restating of the law. You see, the people that were adults here and children here were either under the age of 20 or born in the wilderness. Their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents died over the last 40 years. They did not obey God, would not go in, possess Canaan land. God said, "You're all going to die." And in that process, those 40 years, now this generation is ready to do what their forefathers were supposed to do 40 years before. And God says, "Before you go in, I'm going to make sure you hear from my mouth one more time exactly what I expect of you when you go in to possess the land." And that's what Deuteronomy is. It is kind of an overview, a synopsis of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And it's all compacted into one book. Now, you say, why is that? Because God's Bible, God's law, God's word doesn't change from one generation to the next. God doesn't change just because it's a different age. I'm going to get into that in just a second, too. You see, Moses is about to die. You have to understand something. When Moses started penning the book of Deuteronomy, he knew this is his last thing to do. Because Moses wasn't going to go in and possess the land because Moses rebelled and disobeyed God. He smote the rock instead of talked to it, changed doctrine of salvation in reference to it. God said, "You're done. You're not going in." You realize there were only two people over the age of 60 that went into Canaan? Joshua and Caleb. Those are the, you talk about a young nation. Now, imagine, it's getting younger, isn't it, Brother Barnes, especially when you hit 50. Mrs. Barnes, that's just next year. now, wait a minute. One act of anger, one act of not thinking, Moses lost his ability all the way back from the burning bush and everything he had put up with for 40 plus years. And now he doesn't get to see the very end of it. Imagine how sad he could be. I don't know about you. He was probably happy to get rid of all those complaining Jews. I don't know. But he wants them to do well. He wants them to do well in the new land. You know, no real leader wants his work to die after he dies. Nobody does. Let me remind you. I need your brain for a second. For some of you, that's all the attention you have in it, but that's all right. There is no such thing as Old Testament law, New Testament grace.
Amen.
There is no such thing. That is something brought about by denominationalists and Calvinism.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with the Bible. Now, you say, why, what are you talking about? Well, let me get into that for just a second here. The Old Testament law, Moses lived over 1,000 years after Abraham. My Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Adam. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. They all were saved by faith, not by the law.
Yes, sir.
Every one of them, up until this time, quote unquote, had no law. That's not true. By the way, I've said this before. In the Old Testament, if the pulpit were Calvary, people got saved in the Old Testament looking ahead to Jesus that he would come. That's what all the sacrifices were about. The Old Testament sacrifices is the same in the New Testament. We look back at Calvary. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper and the Old Testament sacrifices are the same thing. Jesus fulfilled them, didn't need the sacrifices. He said, now just remember. It already happened. You don't have to see the gravity of it. You can look back and read the record of the gravity of it in the New Testament. That is the only difference. Now, remember, quote unquote, the law was given in three parts. You had the civil law, you had the moral law, and you had the Levitical law. The civil law, that is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were like a constitution, had nothing to do with going to heaven. God gave the constitution before he actually gave the moral law and the Levitical law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And on and on and on they go. That was to establish a constitution for the land as they settled into Canaan. Then he said, here's the moral law. Let me give you the laws of cleanliness, the laws of food, the laws of sickness and disease, and how to take care of all these things. Sanitation and other things. All of those things are recorded. Then you have the Levitical law. That's but the law by which the priests and things, and the sacrifices and the different sacrifices and what they were for. Listen to this statement. None of those got anybody to heaven. None of them had to do with going to heaven. Did you ever notice the Ten Commandments in America were placed at the courthouse, not the church house? Civil law. Had nothing to do with going to heaven. The atheists are idiots. Has nothing to do about with going to heaven. Well, you can't legislate morality. They want to legislate immorality. Now, none of these laws were for salvation. People were saved by faith. Abraham, Adam, Noah, all of the Jacob, Joseph, all of them were saved by faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Moses was saved by faith. David was saved by faith. guess what? You're saved by faith.
That's right.
God's salvation did not change. There's no such thing called dispensations.
Amen.
There you go.
That's wrong.
Yes, sir.
People didn't get saved differently back then than they get saved now. The only difference is they looked ahead to Jesus coming. We look back that he did come.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the only difference. The gospel did not change.
Right.
From Genesis chapter 3, when God killed the animals, showed Adam and Eve the blood that it would take to wash their sin away. And in Genesis 3:15, where it says that the serpent would bruise the heel as God bruised his head. That was a picture of Calvary. That was Jesus putting Satan down at Calvary, but it cost Jesus, it hurt Jesus to do it. Now, I say that to say this. These laws were for God's people. The Jews were God's chosen people, but may I say this, the Bible's written to all of God's people, and the moment you get saved, you're one of God's people.
Yes, sir. Right.
According to Romans chapter 2, if you get saved, you're not a Jew because you're one outwardly, you're one because you are one inwardly by the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Now, I got to hurry here. God promised a blessing to the Jews in Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you obey me, here's the blessing that comes with it. Then he said, if you disobey me, if you refuse to obey me, there's a curse that goes with it. And here will be the curse. And Deuteronomy 28 is about those two things. Let me run through this very quickly. Lord have mercy. Here we go. You ready? God, how did God want to bless the Jews? If you read verses 2 through 14, I'm not going to take time to read it right now because I have 22 minutes to finish and I have more points than that. All right, so hang in there. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 2 through 14, the Bible says that these are all the different blessings. Now, I'm going to give you a quick outline, all right? You can go back in and fill the verses later. You can read them later. Listen to me. I can teach them. Then go back and read them. Number one, he said the nation would be exalted in the earth. When America was founded as a Christian nation, we had the revivals of the late 1800s. God lifted the nation of America to superpower status because of our righteousness. Everybody talks about Thomas Jefferson being an infidel. You know, you read the Bible every day. You know that Thomas Jefferson went to a Baptist church every week for over 52 weeks. He said the Independent Baptist Church has the best government structure there is. And before they wrote the Constitution, he spent 52 weeks in a Baptist church studying how a church ran. And that's where the Constitution came from. If that man was an infidel, look what we got now in Congress. So God says your nation would be exalted in the earth. Number two, cities would be blessed as well as rural areas being blessed. The Bible says in verse number three, blessed shalt thou be in the city and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Did you know there was a time in America where the city wasn't a bad place to be? Lord have mercy if you go to a big city these days. You take your life in your own hands. And now it's moving out to the rural areas. I just read in the, or heard on the news today, man from Martinsburg down in the Virginia area went and killed somebody. I'd grab my New Testament, see if I'd won that man to Christ. Name's not in my New Testament, but it's kind of scary. Hits home pretty quick. Little old Martinsburg. Look at the drug problems we have in this area. Look at the drunkenness. Look at the just the filth. We're not big city folks, amen? Thank God. I've been in the big city. Don't like that place, amen? God called me to two of them. I still didn't like them. I worked in L.A. area for 2 years and Chicago area for more years than I can count, about 12 years. God says your children would be blessed. Talks about the fruit of your body would be blessed. Did you know when you obey God, your children can be blessed?
Right.
It doesn't guarantee the blessing, but it makes the blessing available.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to make a statement here. This one's rough. Go through the Old Testament prophets and the Old Testament priests. Most of them, their children were worthless. You won't find one of the prophets that ever had children that did anything. Just because you're a preacher's kid doesn't make you anything.
That's right.
Doesn't make you cursed either.
Right.
But it doesn't guarantee it, but it gives you the opportunity to do things. Everybody doing all right? Man, somebody say amen. All right, there we go. You're awake. The Bible says that your land and your cattle and your stock would be blessed. I'm not talking about the stock market. I'm talking about your animals, all right? Your goats, amen, Miss Mung? And your chickens and your turkeys and your duckins and all those other things you got out there. Can I tell you something? The Bible says when you obey God, He can bless your work. He can make it productive and fruitful. Says that your crops and your salary would be blessed. I believe Christians ought to be the hardest workers there are.
Amen.
I don't think you ought to be tooting your own horn. Just go there and work. God will give you the raise you need.
That's right.
I'm not going to go into the strike, but may I say this? My daddy taught me a long time ago, you quit complaining about your wages, you agreed to it, you work for it. You can't work for it, go find somewhere else to work. Don't sit there and complain about the boss. I just believe in that. But I also believe that God blesses hard work. I am not lifting myself up, but Brother Mike, I worked hard when I was in Bible college. I worked in the machine shop. I was a button pusher on a CNC lathe. I happened to run 2, 3, 4, 5 of them at a time. I could outproduce 3 men on day shift combined. My boss liked me. Wonder why he gave us $165,000 for our building project. 30 years later. I haven't worked for the man in 27 years. I've only seen him once in the last 27 years. And yet, he's invested far more money than I ever made for him. I only worked for him for 3 years. Maybe God blesses hard work. You might not get it now. You might have to wait decades to get it. But may I say this, God will bless it. The Bible says your travel could be blessed daily, going to and from every day. I think we ought to be thankful that we get to and from work safely. Every morning I get in my truck early and I start my truck and say, God, help me get to work safe. Don't let me hurt somebody. Don't let me hurt me. Every day when I take off, I just pray and I say, Lord, help us to get there safely. Before we leave tomorrow, we'll pray and, Lord, get us there safely.
Yes.
My kids would tell you, when we'd go on vacation or go on a trip, I'd start the car, we'd take off, and I'd have somebody in the family pray that God keep us safe.
Amen.
I usually didn't because I had my eyes open, amen? Wasn't a good thing for me to pray with my eyes closed while I was driving. The Bible says your self-defense against enemies could be blessed. I believe you ought to take the initiative to protect yourself and be smart. But may I say this, I believe God protects people that live right.
Yes, sir.
I really do. I've been in some pretty rough situations and walked out unscathed. I led the chief of detectives of the Compton Police Department to Christ out in Southern California. Now, Compton is where the Rodney King riots were. Back before y'all were born. What's that? Yeah. Compton has a sign that says when the devil comes to America, he visits Compton first. They just made a big Hollywood movie about it here recently, and Compton's rough. I went out on a ride along with the chief of I can't even think of his name. Danny Sneed. I won Danny to Christ, won his wife to the Lord, baptized him. I got out of the car one night. We were chasing a couple guys spraying spray paint on the side of a wall somewhere. He said, "Come on, Brother Bush, this will be fun." Man, I'm in my early 20s. Let's go, man. Let's get it on. I jumped out, took about six steps, and the guy turns around and starts shooting at us. I got a jacket on. Say, what'd you do? I jumped back and rolled underneath that truck car because I knew it was bulletproof. Danny said, "Brother Bush, where are you? Where are you?" I said, "I'm over here under the car." He said, "Good, stay there." I said, "Don't worry." They caught the guys. He came back. He opened up his trunk. He said, "You better put this flak jacket on. I forgot." Now you gave it to me. Welcome to Compton. I preached in downtown L.A. at a rescue mission. I started a riot down there. I had the police escort. I had three police officers take us out of there with our church van, escorting us out. I mean, exciting. I didn't know at the mission they had 3 6-foot-high speakers playing every word I said down the streets of downtown L.A. I preached a sermon, "God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived." I said, "Some of y'all are living in a cardboard box buying your drugs from a guy driving a $50,000 Mercedes-Benz. I said, devil's got you deceived." Brother Joe Hill walked up and he said, "Brother Bush, did you drive tonight?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can somebody else from the church drive?" I said, "Sure, why?" He said, "Did you drive the van?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "They're mad at you out there." I said, "Out where?" He said, "Out there, didn't I tell you?" I said, "Tell me what." He said, "Follow me." Big old, he reminds you of Joe Boyd, great big old boy. We go all the way up to the fourth floor, go out on the roof, and he shows me these speakers. He said, "Come here." Fourth Street went this way, another intersection down this way, and a half a block down from the mission, some car was turned over, and they were beating the tar out of somebody, and police and ambulances everywhere. He said, "Police officers have three cruisers to escort you out of town." He said, "You better sit in the middle of the van." So I did. They were leapfrogging around us the whole way out of town. I've been in some rough spots. Thank God, God kept us safe. The Bible says that your storehouse, your church, can be blessed. The Bible says your work can be blessed. Verse 12, God said he would open his good treasure upon you. You know, God's got good treasure. I opened an email not too many months or too many weeks ago and it said, "Brother Bush," he said, "my wife and I have some crumbs left in our Christmas cookie jar. Can you give me your bank information? Well, it needs a new home." 5 days later, found out that those crumbs were a $100,000 check. His crumbs are bigger than my cake. I can't wait to see that cookie jar. Full. Man. I don't know what's coming. He never even told me what it was till I got to the bank. Then I had to ask twice. They squeegeed me out of the bank. Pushed me right under the door. I couldn't believe it. Verse 13 says, your leaders will be, you will be leaders and not followers only. You know, I believe God puts Christians into leadership positions because they know how to do what's right. That doesn't mean you're going to be a leader right away. Verse number 12 says that you'll be the lender, not the borrower. God will give you enough wisdom to where you don't have to borrow everything. You could be the one they're borrowing from. God wanted to bless his people, and he still wants to bless today. He wants to bless your life that way. Now, we got to hurry. Take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 28 again. Then God said, there's a curse if you disobey me. I'm going to read a lengthy portion, and I might make a comment or two in each verse. But just follow with me. Let me show you what these curses are. Look at verse number 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto my voice, the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all the commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Watch this. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. Where are we at, America? Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Wonder why you can't keep anything? Wonder why your savings account's zero? Verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, that's your children, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thine kine, and thy flocks of thy sheep. I wonder why everything breaks down all the time, can't keep anything going ever. Verse 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and in all thou settest thine hand unto until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Isn't it amazing how many Christians mess up and screw up? And everybody's going to have a bad day. Nobody's perfect. But I know Christians that can't keep a job any longer than about 6 weeks. They can't work with anybody. I'll tell you why, because they're not obeying God. They're not walking with God. Somebody say amen. Verse 21. They can't even show up to work on time. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, till he hath consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. That means pestilence. High taxes. Bad neighbors. I've been trying to get my fence put back up. I got a neighbor, and we're getting ready to sell our house, but we got a neighbor. They've been with us, next to us, probably 10, 12 years. And they're decent people, but he drinks a lot. I see him probably drunk more than I see him sober. I worked and worked and worked and worked with a shovel. I didn't have a digging bar with me yesterday and digging fence posts out that are concreted in with just a shovel. I did all I could do yesterday. About an hour later, my doorbell rang. I walked up, my neighbor was there, and he said, "My wife said you was working out there." He said, "I got that one post out for you." I said, "I didn't have a digging bar. I'm going to borrow one tomorrow and try to get some more done." He said, "Oh, got a post hole digger and a digging bar back there." He said, "Just use it." He said, "I pulled that thing out." He said, "If I got a chance, I'll help you tomorrow night." I said, "I got church tomorrow night, and then I'm leaving out of town." I said, "But I appreciate it." It's an old drunk. But my family's won, both him and his wife, and some of his kids to the Lord. That's just a neighbor. Yeah. Do I agree with him? Mostly not. But we're decent to each other. Say, what is that? I really believe God did that just to encourage me. Because God knows I didn't want to pull that thing out myself. Amen. Verse number 22. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, with a fever, and with inflammation, with extreme burning, with a sword, and with a blasting, with mildew. They shall pursue thee until thou perish. Diseases. Weird things. Look what America's got these days. Thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. In other words, you're going to feel like everything that goes up bounces back down, and every time you put the shovel in, it's not going any farther. Verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out of the one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed in all thy kingdoms of the earth. You're going to run from everybody, be cowards, be fearful. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. I love, you know, when God gets mad, I love it, because he starts talking about your carcass. You know, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, wherefore thou canst not be healed. God's talking about the immorality of God's people. And you're not going to get away with living like the world. Verse 28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness, and the astonishment of heart. Madness. That's psychotic. That's Miss Wally on anesthetic. I mean, blindness and an astonishment of heart. Simple, and everything is just overwhelming. Verse 29, thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Now, let me say this before I go any farther. Just because you've had one or two of these things happen in your life doesn't mean that God's cursed you. This is talking about an entire group of people, not just an individual. Verse 30, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her, and thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather grapes thereof. People losing their business, people losing their homes. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass and thy violently taken away from before thy face, and thou shalt not be restored to thee. The sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, etc., etc., etc. In other words, your property is going to be taken away from you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Number 32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. There shall be no might in thine hand. In other words, your kids are going to run off and be with the wrong crowd, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Fruit of thy land and all the labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway. That's high taxes and government. Thou shalt not be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the leg, and with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and the king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. There shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. That's President Obama. And thou shalt become as an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. And I'm not going to read the rest of these verses because I got something else I want to give to you. But if you can read all the way down through verse 57, all of these things are cursings that God curses if they will not obey the word of the Lord. Can I tell you something? America is falling headlong into this because we won't obey God. So sick and tired of it. Well, if God's such a loving God, how come all these people are getting shot up in the schools? Well, they kicked God out of the schools 50 years ago.
That's right.
You want to blame God after you kicked him out?
Come on.
Blame God after you took the Bible out, prayer out? You'll let them have their Muslim prayer rugs and prayer rooms and teach them Muslim month and turn them all into Muslims by teaching them their doctrines and indoctrinating them in it and telling them that there is no such thing as God. And then you want to blame God? Okay, I threw that fit. I'm sorry. God always makes sure that the curses and chastisement is far more harsh than anyone wants to endure. My daddy kind of was like that. They're in Florida right now. But when I was growing up, when dad said, go do it, you either did it or he did it. And he would come back. He'd only ask one time. Son, go take the trash out. Yes, sir, I will. And if it wasn't within moments that you was moving, he'd say, son, you want to take the trash out with a whipping or without? Either way, you're taking the trash out. You choose. I learned after the first couple times getting whooped, it's better just to do it and get it without the whooping. Because either way, you're going to get it. Man, can I tell you something? I didn't get spanked very much. You can tell. That's why I'm so bad. I watched my brother get whooped, and there was no sense in going through all that mess. I was smarter than he was. But God said he would bless us if we obeyed. My phone buzzed a little while ago. I looked at it. It was an email. I was shocked. There's a lady moving here from a distant state. She said, I've heard about your church. She said, I'm moving, my whole life is changing, and I need a good church. She said, and I have a feeling It's a lady that I met in the subdivision where my wife and I are building a house. I think it gave her a gospel track. And she said, I need a good church. And she gave me some information to follow up with her on. Praise the Lord. Say, how's that happen? Oh, we're just lucky. How is it that we have visitors all the time? We're just lucky. Nah, we work at it. That's why we're going to build God's work. Let somebody else build the stupid building. We got to be busy reaching people. That's what the church is all about. It's not about building buildings. It's about reaching people and helping people. Then God adds another layer of curses after all of this. We read verses 58 through 61. God makes it personal to individuals then. He said, if you as an individual then do not obey me. Verses 58 through the rest of the chapter, God goes through some pretty personal things here. He said, you're going to have long-lasting illnesses. You'll have shrinking population. The Jews would be scattered all over the world. Fear and depressed all the time. Verse 65. Look at verse 65. And among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing eyes and sorrow of mind. We live in a stressed out, psyched out, depressed society. Right. I have never, I know I'm getting to be older man, but I have never seen so many depressed people in my whole life. Yep. Good night. Greg and Wita came in with Fred and Wally this morning. We were there at 6:30. Greg finally drug her out a little after that. we were having a party in the middle of pre-surgery center there. We're laughing and carrying on. Miss Wally's getting ready to go into surgery. Say, what'd you do? We were laughing and having a good time. Yeah, I prayed with her. There's no sense in being depressed.
That's right.
Let's face it. If she didn't make it through surgery, we knew where she was going. Now, I wanted her to make it through surgery. But even if she didn't, everything was going to be all right.
Amen.
No sense in being depressed over it. You say, preacher, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I just don't live depressed.
Amen.
I refuse to. verse 66, look at this. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. Can I tell you something? The moment you start obeying God,
yeah,
you start living confidently. I'll promise you, the moment you start living for God, you get a boldness that you didn't know you had.
Right.
It doesn't mean you never get afraid, but you can overcome it and say, here we go. Preacher, I don't care what anybody says. Every time I go soul winning, my first thought is, man, I hope they're not home. Say, why? I don't like getting yelled at, cussed at, screamed at, kicked out, everything else. And I don't like people. But something happens when you hear those footsteps coming to the door and you hear that door start going. Something stirs up inside. And it's like God flips a switch. And here I go. Now my first thought is, man, I hope they're not home. I've been soul winning for 40 years. I still feel that way. And usually, you see this great big goon come to the door and you're thinking, oh, Lord. He's the easy one. It's when that short little 80-pound woman comes to the door is when you really get cussed out. Yeah, buddy. It's not the big ones, it's the small ones. Found that out. It's like them little yapping dogs. Yap, 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 yap. It's not the big ones. It's them little ones that get you. Verse 67 says, You'll live at a level where you're never satisfied with anything. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear. For the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. You're not happy when you get up. You're not happy when you go to bed. When you get up, you wish you were going to bed. And when you're going to bed, you wish you were getting up. Can't satisfy anybody. Matter of fact, verse 68 says you'll be sold to your enemies. Bless God, my enemies got to stand in line. Because I'm not rolling over. My eyes are pressing on the upward way. Can I tell you something? Just enjoy serving God. Well, I get afraid all the time. Just do what God says. The fear goes away, trust me. Well, I don't know how I could handle that. I promise you one thing. Go to the airport, sit down, open up a King James Bible, and you'll find a seat anywhere you want. They will not bother you. We are as much as God's people as the Jews were. God's word applies to us today the same way it applied to them before they entered Canaan land. Let me say this. That book doesn't change to any generation. That book's the same to me as it was to Brother Hiles. That's the same book Charles Spurgeon preached. Same book Billy Sunday preached. Same book Jesus preached. Goes all the way back. Can I tell you something? God didn't change his word just because it's 2018.
You're right.
We're not supposed to go find out what everybody wants in a church and design it be so we can keep up with the modern culture. Puke. I'm sorry, vomit. I'm so tired of modernism. God said by the foolishness of preaching, not follow the bouncy ball on your movie screens. We have Burger King Christianity these days. Have it your way. How about let's have it God's way? Amen. Military chow. Just show up and we'll flop her on the plate. Amen. Like it or lump it. You say, well, that's not real kind. I'd rather have the blessing of God than always have everything kind.
That's right.
We live in a world of cursing. I never thought in my lifetime I would see the LGBTQ stuff going on. When I was growing up, we had a game we played. It was called Smear the, and you can fill it in as you wish. I'm not kidding. We played it at school. Man, if you did that today, you'd get expelled just for saying it. They'd lock you in jail. I'd have been locked under the jail for some of the things I did. Wait a minute. Well, this is a new society. Did you know when I was growing up, I didn't have to wonder which bathroom to go into? There was no confusion at all. None whatsoever. You know, I remember the day where I finally told my mama, you ain't taking me in no ladies' bathroom ever again. I was just a little guy. I said, you ain't doing that no more. My dad, I remember first time I got to go to a public washroom with my dad, thank God. Say why? Because I wasn't going to go in a girl's bathroom ever again in my life and have not, amen. Who'd ever thought you'd go to the store and they have a men's section for skirts? Lord have mercy. Men's nail polish and makeup. Men wearing necklaces and earrings. Yeah, that's the exact word I was thinking, but I wasn't going to say it, Brother Mike. Thank you, sir. That's what it was called when I was growing up. Didn't matter which year it was in, you was one. Stay away from that. Say, what happened? Well, we are living in a different culture. No, we're not. We're just living more sinful.
Right. Yes, sir. Right.
That book didn't change.
Amen.
Not a bit.
Amen.
Not a bit. Well, you're just so old-fashioned, thank you.
Amen.
Not planning on changing either.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I live a pretty happy life, though.
Right.
I enjoy life. I enjoy every part of it just about. Say why? I know there's heartache. I know there's grief. I know there's pain. I know there's sorrow. I'm dealing with a sick mom down in Florida, hoping to get them home before too long. She's still in a rehab, trying to get her going. I know the senior, the late twilight years are upon us. It's okay. I just buried my grandmother back in November, 99 and a half years old. Don't get mad at me. You know, I never cried one tear. Still haven't. Good night. I talk to her every week. For about 25 years, every Saturday afternoon. I enjoyed her so much that when I don't have... I just said the other day to my wife, there's times I miss her. I still miss calling her. But I'm not going to cry about it. I was 50 years old before I lost my grandmother. How many people can live to 50 and still have a grandma? Not many. Not many live to 50 and still have a parent. I had parents and grandparents up till I was 50. We did pretty good. Why should I be depressed? Good night, she got saved at Billy Sunday Crusade in 1931. And she was a teenager then. Wait a minute. God's been good. Why should I complain about when things get a little rough? I got the blessing of God. Can I tell you something? Let's live with the blessing of God. How do we do it? Live by that book right there.
Yes, sir.
You line up with that book, God will bless you. Get out of line, there's curses that go with it. And God warns you about it. Every head bowed, every eye closed.